بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. The conditions that we experience here were found in India as well. Be it the deviant groups that are found here now presently, be it the ideologies that prevail, and be it the challenges that we go through, nearly all of them were found in India. And this is just a repetition. However it came around, people have the tendency to say it's a third power, third force, whatever. So more than discovering and finding out who's behind, what we need to understand is what do we do? Right. One is to try and trace, investigate, try and work out who's behind, right? But the other way of looking at things is, what do we do? We're given a circumstance, we're given a situation, then what should we be doing, how should we be behaving? India, for approximately 100 years, there was the struggle against the English. The oppression and the difficulties that they were going through. So they had to do something. So when there is a public movement, right, then there's going to be diversity in thought. I'll say adopt one approach, and the other will say that adopt another approach, right? And then the governments will also be seeing and watching what's going on, and they will also be playing one party against the other party. So all these things will be going around, but what are we supposed to be doing? Do we play into someone's game? Do we be a support? Or do we look for the road of safety? So, you know, in all this, Shaitan is not dead. The politicians also know what's going on, because they got someone to inform, so then they think, now what should we do to save and to cover our backs? All these things will go on. Now, in the midst of all this, there's a lot of mudslinging. There's a lot of suspicion, right? Two things, mudslinging and a lot of suspicion. So in that suspicion and that mudslinging, one will say, he's bought off. And he is bought off, right? Now, it's all speculation. I ask you, ituni bikitabim min qabli hadha aw atharatin min ilm. Right? If you want to prove something, right, then you need to have some authentic evidence. Atharatin min ilm refers something that is authentic. And then if you don't have that authentic evidence, then it's speculation. It's just a thought, right? But the thought becomes like a real thing, whereas it was just an imagination, a guess. And then that kept on talking about it, allowing your minds to have the better over you, until that same illusion, that imagination, became like a fact, conviction. It became like a conviction. Now then you began to hallucinate, saying that this is the fact. And then that person became the foe. And Shaitan is working. See. So now these things were going on in India. And Shaitan was not asleep. He knows, I need to break, I need to divide. So when it's divided, then it's easy to work. But they're all together, so they are a united force. And then to break them is very difficult. To influence them is very difficult. But if they are fragmented, then it's easy. In all this, the Muslims were divided into two camps. One was the Congress, and one was the League, Muslim League. Right? And now, the following is just growing. Both following is growing. I don't want to get into the details of what was going on. But then there was a lot of accusation, allegations. Now this is the sore point. Right, from a suspicion, it becomes an allegation. You talk about it. Right. Now in the hadith it's reported that you make an allegation, right? That you are made to stand on the pul sirat and the fire is shooting from beneath, and you are told by, you made a claim, you made an allegation. Do you have any support base for this? You made that person seem like a bad person, you ran him down, right? You smeared, you went to a smear campaign, but do you have any support base? So you see how dangerous this is. I remember, I think it was 1979, to be safe, 79 or 78. So I just come to sit with Mustafa Rahmatullahi, and it was the day when some Mulana Mahbub Razvi, he passed away. He's written some kitabs on Darul Uloom, history and all that. So he was a good writer, and more his writing was on history, etc. Mulana Mahbub Razvi, he just passed away that day. So now, everybody is giving his 5 cents as to how he passed away. Someone is saying, you know, he passed away on a rickshaw. Someone is saying, he just reached home and he passed away. And someone is saying something else. Mustafa is listening to all their comments. At the end he says, see, this Mahbub Razvi, what happened? He was passing the Chhatta Masjid, right? And he saw he was getting to some difficulty. So he came in and he relaxed or leaned against the wall. And then he's grasping for breath. So I could hear, Mustafa says, I could hear him struggling for breath. So I came out, I saw he's on his last. And just in a few minutes he passed away. So he passed away there. Now somebody is saying one story, somebody is giving another story. So we're too quick to jump the gun. That's our problem, right? We just relax, try and see everything, how it happened, what were the events, or find out. The more Tanvi Sahib Rahmah says, this difference is how they start off. He says, bare to milte nahi, aur chote to baat badha kar ke kehte hai. Elders, people that are responsible, people that are in the game now, right? They are, it's a problem and they have to work, right? So they're not talking to each other. I got a problem with you, right? So I'm not talking to you. So the problem is in the mind. And it's possible that the ones that are under, they may have heard one word from me, or they have heard one word from you. So that same word that they have heard from me or from you, they will expound the thing, and then they will talk about it. Now doesn't it look like a big problem, massive problem? But where's the root of the problem is those that were senior in charge, they could have met with each other and tell them this is what's going on. You know, we would work underground, very a lot of secrecy. But then you must expect this. So if I have got a problem, I can't understand something, I got a misgiving, I got some reservation, even if it's a small thing, let me come and clear it up. I got a misgiving, I got a misunderstanding, but what's the procedure? Mishkat Sharif, some famous hadith, that Nabi Sam had just passed on, right? And there was perhaps Abu Bakr or someone, or Umar, that had greeted Usman radiallahu anhu, and Usman had not returned the greeting. So this was brought up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I greeted and he hadn't returned the greeting. What's wrong? Has he got a problem with me? So now before it could explode, right, go beyond proportion, out of proportion, so he brought it up to the Khalifa. So I said, Madam Usman, this person passed you and he extended the greeting, salam, why didn't you return his greeting? So now see how they're following it up in the right procedure. Usman says, I don't even know he passed, and I don't even know he greeted. But Abu Bakr says, yes, I know what happened. He must have been overwhelmed in a thought that now Nabi Sam is not around, and what will happen to the Ummah? What should we be doing? Now see that air has been cleared out. But a little procedure, the elders had to meet, people that are in charge, are responsible. This is what happened here. When they spoke, and all the cloudiness, everything got cleared up, one shot. But now you're not going to talk, you're not going to meet, and you want that type of correction, the hearts to be together. So how is it going to be possible? So anyway, now, Mu'a Ilyas Sahib, Rahmatullahi, and Mona Raipuri Sahib, both are at Saharanpur. And this mudslinging is going on. Obviously they'll have their mutalliqeen, their friends, and they would come and relate the news, right? When they relate the news, then a lot of information will come up. So Al-Mu'a Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah says, فیوز کی نہ یہاں پر کمی ہے اور نہ وہاں پر کمی ہے, معترض تو یہاں سے بھی محروم اور وہاں سے بھی محروم. We talk of برکت, I talk of goodness, and there is no deficiency of برکت, there's no shortage. Whether this side or the other side, there's two camps, and both camps for big buzrugan deen, there is no shortage in that. Reservoirs, they're both reservoirs. In fact, they are not reservoirs, they are oceans. There's an ocean here, there's an ocean here. So these, can you imagine and envisage a shortage in an ocean? Indian Ocean, really, have to go and fill it up. Pacific Ocean. So both of them are oceans, so there is no shortage. But the one that is entertaining suspicion, finding faults, he is lost here, he's lost that side. He is deprived here, and he's deprived there. Didn't follow procedure. So anyway, this discussion is carrying on. And being the heads of the Ummah, Al-Mu'a Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and Hazrat Mawlana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, they feel, you know, we should go to Al-Mu'a Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi and show our respects. So as they're discussing, so they understand Al-Mu'a Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is quite a refined temperament, right? Because he's got a very, very, very busy schedule. Now imagine a man is writing 1,000 kitabs, so his mind needs to be very calculated. So when you write your kitab, and how calculated your mind has to be. So small things can irritate you as well, because you're writing so much, and that level of presence of mind that is required to write a sentence, when you give him a bayan is easy. Swing the crowd this side or swing the crowd that side, not a difficult thing. But you write a kitab and you understand there is going to be a point of reference. People refer to this kitab. So I need to be calculated, I need to be precise, I need to be sure of what I'm writing. The word, the choice of the word, the presentation of the material, all that. So now, Mawlana at his level, and then he's a point of reference, the whole world is looking at him. So can you imagine that the focus that is required of him to write? So now, they understand that Mawlana is also a sensitive person, right? Because his time is too valuable. One side he is writing basi zivar, then his bayanul Quran, then his something on hadith, something on fiqh, you know, in Dabul Fatawa, and so many things he's doing at one and the same time. Then his shariat and tasawuf. And what he's doing at one and the same time. And it's not just freehand writing. It's all backed up with strong references. So one is someone is writing. And one is, he's backed up and supported with a strong reference. So strong the reference, ulama can also challenge. And then, he's got a section in his kitabs, Tarjiyur Rajih, right? And if someone objected, right, he found some mistake or some discrepancy, Mawlana is giving a proper answer. If that person is mistaken, say, that's where you're mistaken. And if Mawlana is mistaken himself, there's an open retraction that I retract. So can you see the how busy his schedule is. So they thinking to themselves, is it the right thing under the present circumstance to go to Mawlana and show him our respects? Why is they discussing? They say, well, you know, we don't know respect. We don't know adab. And perhaps we'll make some type of a bi'adbi in his presence. We may not show that level of respect that is required. So I was saying, yeah, Mawlana is a very busy person. And we are not like busy as him. So we, in our showing some respect, perhaps we may do something that is not right. And it may hurt Mawlana. So now they both apprehensive, you see. As they apprehensive, Ilyas Sahib says, but we are Mawlana's children. Looking at the age gap and all that, we are like Mawlana's children. When we are children, small little babies now, the babies will sit on the laps of their fathers, and they'll mess up. The fathers, the mothers will know, why babies, you expect them to do this thing here, and they won't take it seriously, so let's go. See how they're talking. See how well mannered they are. Respect, muhabbat, adab. They are not keeping themselves backwards. Very often I say, a Muslim must always be a winner. Now how do you make out that you are a winner? قَدَ فَلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, right? So you must be a winner in any circumstance, any situation, but you must win. So how do you know you are on the winning end? How do you know? How do you make out? So you will make out that you are on the winning end when you fast forward yourself till your last breath. Say now, you are here, right? And your last breath is supposed to come at, say 20 years time, right? So you put yourself 20 years forward, and you're in the last second of your life. So when you're in the last second of your life, how would you like to meet Allah Ta'ala? Would you like to meet Allah Ta'ala when your heart, when your mind is polluted and contaminated with all type of suspicion, doubts of people and families, etc.? Or you want your mind to be in a very good frame of mind with Allah Ta'ala, you've got a clear relationship, clear contact, and with people also, even if something that was not too savory at reach you, and you're making dua for them. At that time, you're making dua rather, maybe it's a misgiving on my side, and I'm asking you for forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala looked at him favorably as well. So with Allah Ta'ala, you are good. With that person also, you are good. You have got no reservations, no malice, no ill feelings in your heart. Now I ask you, isn't that a good way to end up? Or is this a good way to end up? He's a chore, and this person here is a robber. He always lets me down. He deceives, and he's a liar. I'm dying in that state. So which is the better way? Therefore, Nabi Sallam on one occasion said, لا يبلغني أحد من أصحابي شيئا. Right? لا يبلغني أحد من أصحابي شيئا. أنا أرجو أن أخرج إلى أصحابي وَأَنَا سَلِيمُ الصَّدْرُ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. That any person, any of my friends, they mustn't convey any message to me. So what he's saying, any person mustn't relate anything to me of my companions, of my Sahaba Ikram. Now we understand from this one sentence, to coming to this hadith, right? We understand from this hadith that Nabi Sam is impressing upon us that he's also a human being. When he's a human being, then if you want to bring some negative information, I can get affected. Though he's a Sayyidul Anbiya, but you are bringing and you are transmitting some information to me. I'm a human being. When I'm a human being, I hear it and I will get affected. But by the same token, when I am coming towards my Sahaba Ikram, towards my friend, أَخْرُجُ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنَا سَلِيمُ الصَّدْرِ, I need to have a clean, clear heart when I've come out with my Sahaba Ikram. I don't need to have any reservation, any ill feelings against my Sahaba Ikram. Right? Mullah Ali Qari Sahib, when he comments on this hadith, he says, this hadith indicates that the immediate people of Sahaba of Rasulullah, it means the Azwaj Mutahharat, wives, perhaps the Khulafa'i Rashideen, those that were immediate, right? That was close to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, Nabi Sam had a very good relationship with them that he wouldn't hear anything from them. So his heart was absolutely sound, clean, clear whilst he's in their midst. Right? Now, he wanted to retain that level of purity when he's outward as well. You see that? You see these people that comment on the hadith. What's the level of understanding? Our minds wouldn't have worked here. But isn't the fact that he says that now I would have come out in your midst whilst my heart is clean and good for you. That means my mind and my heart was good. Now when I come out towards you, then don't spoil my heart. Don't spoil my mind. I'm a human being, you may relate something, iski baat, uski baat, falani ki baat. Now, I hear that information, that hear that news, can I say that my heart will be absolutely clean and clear? So, our Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he would also maintain this, right? How he would maintain it, all different approaches they had. Ali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, if someone brought some information to him, so he would expel that entire thing, says, sab jhoot hai, What? It's all lies, this. I discount it 100%. You don't get a better, greater, I don't think you ever expect a better discount than Haditha. It's giving you 100% discount. I discount everything. Right? I say, probably he must have had a problem with him, so therefore he's expressing his grievances to me. That's a small thing. They got a problem amongst themselves now, and because of their problems, he is relating to me. Otherwise, there's no real problem. I don't see any problem. Al-Mawr Qasim Sahib, Narnuti Rahmatullahi, he will do like he's hearing you out properly. And after he's heard the whole story, he said, by some jute, he'll tell the person off that he's all lies. And he says, Lola ja'u alayhi bi arba'ati shuhada. If you made a claim, then you need to support it with some type of evidence. فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَاءِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. If you cannot support your claim with some evidence, proper, reliable evidence, whatever is required, 4, 2, whatever required, then in the law of Allah Ta'ala, you are a liar. So, subjute, khalas. Al-Mawr Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullahi was the same. And as someone starts off something, say, wait, leave this, we'll hear something later on. But this story, just leave it out. Someone in his presence, Al-Mawr Gangwai Rahmatullahi's presence, someone is talking against Al-Mawr Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he's carried on. So we didn't take the name as yet. So Al-Mawr Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullahi says, but who are you speaking about? Are you speaking about Al-Mawr Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi? So then I don't hear anything. Now, at that time, Al-Mawr Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi would refer to Al-Mawr Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullahi, any matter, masla, tasawuf, anything regarding his class, that he would refer to Al-Mawr Gangwai Sahib Rahmatullahi. But with all that, he doesn't want to hear any news passed on that was negative about Al-Mawr Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi. He says, Main is aadmi ko mukhlis samajhta hu. I understand the man to be sincere, devoted. Right? Baki sab insaan hai, he's a human being, and a human being may make a mistake in his understanding and in his analysis. But I don't have any doubt about him being absolutely sincere in what he's doing. So I don't need to listen to any story about him. Cut him off there and then. I ask you, when they had that type of approaches, then the person that is passing on information, will he have the heart to carry on? He's sealed up. Like, hey, I'm going to say something, I'll catch it just now again. I'll catch it again. So the better thing is that I just remain silent. See, that is why on the day of Qiyamah, you see, now I was explaining to someone today that at the advent of Qiyamah, there will be a lot of policing, right? A lot of policing. So I was trying to wonder why there will be a lot of policing before the day of Qiyamah. As we are approaching Qiyamah, going more and more forward, there's going to be a lot of policing, right? So the understanding that came to my mind, if it is right, Allah Ta'ala, otherwise it is my problem, right? Is you get things straight, if there is a conscience. Right? If you have a conscience, then you get things right. And conscience can refer to one of two things. One is you are conscious about your reputation, your name, etc. You are conscious about that, right? Or you are conscious about the presence of Allah Ta'ala. So, you are conscious about your reputation, your name, your respect in the marketplace. This is how they hold you, right? So that keeps you in course. Hey, if I do something, I'll lose my reputation. I will just collapse. Everything will just collapse for me. So I can't allow this to happen. So that is one thing that keeps you in check. But the other thing that keeps you in check is your consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, right? At least just for example, you're selling butter, right? And the word goes out, this man here, he's putting in 40% margarine and 60% butter and he's selling. And there's some laboratory test that's done and now it's passed out. What happens? To come back to his, even if it's a false news, but his business is definitely going to be affected for 3-4 months until he proves himself and he comes up and he says, no, this is what happened. But for that 3-4 months, his business is going to be affected. So you need a reputation as well, right? But by the same token, more than the reputation is the consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. But why? The consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. You have to have that because you're convinced that there's going to be answerability. Why Allah Ta'ala? Because He's going to, you're going to account to Him. He's going to hold you to account. So if you got that consciousness that I have to account for this before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, where nothing helps, no friendship helps, and no influence helps, nothing helps. So I'm going to be accountable there. Now that will definitely keep you in cause. But if one of these two things are not there, you're not conscious about it, what's going to happen? Then your mind is going to work like this, then how do I beat the system? How do I bypass the system? See? So I was explaining to this person, see, if that's going to be the state of mankind, then his mind is working, how can I beat the system? Right? So I need to reach a certain target, and to reach a certain target, one is a legal route, and one is I strategize and look for a route to reach up there. Right? So the strategy, I will save a lot of money, but I will get up there. See? Now this can be applied to deen, it can be applied to dunya, both ways. Right? One woman, she made a vow. What vow she made? My child is very seriously ill. Only one son a child got, and the child is found very seriously ill. So she went up to the Imam Sahib, and she says to the Imam Sahib, make dua, my child must come right. And if my child comes right, then I vow, then I made a vow, right? I made a vow that you must, on a Jummah, when the whole masjid is packed to capacity, right? You must play the tabla and the sarangi, the tambourine and the guitar, for at least 30 seconds in the masjid, you know. I made a vow, the child must come right, and if it happens, I'll make the imam do this thing here. Now my child is coming right, now how must I fulfill that vow? Well, the imam sahib, he sized the woman that she's got stacks, right? See, it's a tall order, right? For the tall order, it's a tall price. I can't do $1,000 all that, no. Put $1 million down, and the game is on, I will do it. Now, Marta kya na karta, she vowed and she needed to honor that vow of hers. So the Imam Sahib on a Jummah, he put the tambourine, he put the guitar, covered up on gilaf, so nobody can see it. So he came onto the minbar and is giving the bayan, see, pre-Jummah talk he's giving. He said, Khabiso, tum gana sunte ho, huh? Gana baja sunte ho. You know, if you listen to music, you don't know it's haram. You know, tambourine, and to play it like this is haram, and to play it like that is also haram. And you know, the guitar, to play it like this also is haram, and this one is haram also. So, cash, cool, millionaire, you see. She is strategizing how to get to the target. I must get that. But whichever strategy I can use, but I must get there. So this will be the end of your deen, that you will strategize, so that you can reach to the target, whichever way. So that's going to be the end of the deen. Now you need the policing. Why? Because there's no consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. So from the top to the bottom, everybody will be the same checker. Now it's an international problem. Law and defeating the ends of justice is an international law. Right? So when you hear news, you know, you get this news from this side, that side, and that side. Right? So a common thing in people that are a little bit on an official position, what they're doing now, or I say for example, you got a problem, right? You got laborers under you, workers under you. So you need to pay them accordingly. I think about the least, this is about 4,000 rands a month, you must pay them. But the man had some arrangement with these workers, and he's paying them 3,000 rand, whatever, but he's giving some perks and benefits. So he's not keeping up to the requirements of the labor department. So now one official will come in, and he says, you know, you're not on mark, so see, you got this workers according to your papers, you got it, you got them for the last 2 years or 3 years. So the fine that you have to pay legally is about 300,000 rand. So much of workers you got, such a long period, you have kept them, and you didn't pay them their dues, so you have to pay a penalty of 300,000 rand. So this is one option. The other option is, see how they're spelling it clearly. One option is this, that you pay 300,000 rand, and then your records will be clear. The other option is, you give me 10,000 and I'll sort everything out. All your papers will be cleared. So you see what happens. So now for that, now you have to have another police to check on this person here. And behind that police, you happen to have another police. But where the problem is the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Now when you don't have the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, then there's going to be corruption and nothing but corruption. So if you want it to go right, then come back. Come back to the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is watching. I'm accountable. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, he was so conscious. So they asked him, after he passed away, that what gave you your salvation? Imagine he's a imam, right? The whole world respects him as an imam, right? But someone asked him, but what was the reason for your salvation? So he says, the reason for my salvation was, أَكْثَرُ قَوْلِي لَا أَدْرِي وَالتَّوَقُّفِ, you know. Most of the time I would say, I would just say, I don't know the masla. Or I say, you know, I remain silent on this issue here. Until I haven't researched it, I am not going to comment on this. Just silent and tawakkuf. I'm just holding on. I don't have the clarity. When I don't have the clarity, I'm silent about this. When I don't have clarity, I don't want to create a problem for myself. I don't want to make a commitment. I can only make a commitment if I'm absolutely clear. But now, in the sight of people, such an imam, big imam, he doesn't have answers. That's how today's person will look. A scholar of this day, this is how he will look at it. But how he was looking, but I don't have the clarity, I'm standing before Allah Ta'ala, I don't have the answer. It's easy for me to say to Allah Ta'ala, I didn't have the answers, so I remain silent on the issue. I didn't want to make a commitment. Right? So that's an easier answer by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala than speculating and taking a chance. I didn't take a chance, I just remain quiet, silent, I don't know the issue, I don't want to make a commitment. See? Now all this again revolves around answerability. See, you answerable, you understand that you answerable, then the road ahead is clear. But if you don't have the consciousness that you're answerable, you're accountable, mode is inevitable, is absolutely uncertain, then you'll keep taking a chance here, taking a chance there, shooting this person down, shooting that person down, shooting this person down. See, that's what's going to happen. Incidentally, today, from the morning to the evening, I think about 3-4 cases came. I explained the whole thing before them. Show me the problem in a department, sometimes in dini works, but the problems that exist and go on. So Allah Ta'ala put some thoughts in my mind, right? Which weren't in my mind, but Allah Ta'ala put some thoughts in my mind. So I explained the 2-3 individuals, some professional people, some ordinary people, but they're the same problems, right? So I explained to them, see, in any work that you are doing, then the standard, what is the requirement? What is the target? When it's a dini thing, say it's a madrasa, or it's a khanqa, or it's a tabligh jamaat, or it's a jamiat, right? So what's the actual target? The actual target is about 5. One is ikhlas, right? I'm doing it purely for Allah Ta'ala, right? Number 2, to bring about the name of Allah Ta'ala in the system that we've got, to bring about the name of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's name must be taken very, very in abundance. لَقِيْتُمْ فِيَةً فَاسْبُتُوا وَاسْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. So in any situation, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala must be the topmost thing in the mind, right? The second thing, right? The third thing that is required in any organization, anything, jamaat or madrasa, whatever, the third thing that is required is a total conformity to the sunnah. That's the third target, right? And the fourth target is then how to bring about togetherness in the ummah. So these are about the 4 targets that are required in any dini system, any organization, any whatever it is, right? So now, in work you'll have 2 levels, right? One level is, you have a system, and the second level is the target, right? I have a system, a protocol to reach up, tariqa-e-kar. And the second is you need to get up to certain targets, meet certain targets. You can't only have a system and no target, and you can't have only a target and no system. So you need both. But obviously, the whole theme is the target, to reach to the target, right? You're playing soccer, so you've got a target, right? You've got a whole manual, right, how to work the ball. That's one But you've got a target, not just the playing of the ball, but under the circumstance, to work the ball until you get to the ball, to the goal post, right? Isn't that a fact? So the same happens in deen. So whatever, no matter what work you are doing, but these are targets. Remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, ikhlas, the love of Allah Ta'ala, right? Right? To be firmly rooted istiqamat on the sunnah, and to bring about a unity within the ranks of the Muslim. These are the four targets that you've got, right? But sometimes what happens is we become too strong on the system and we forget the actual target. Right? So we forgot the target, we're holding on to the system. And sometimes we're just looking at the target itself and we're forgetting the system. The actual thing is the target. This thing is by the way, right? Now, you see, when the Sharia, when it proposes a target, right, then it's impossible to find a substitute. So you say, this is the target, this is what you must reach, this is what you must do. So it's impossible, you can't find an alternative, right? Now, a simple example, the Sharia says, alright, there is a theft, so the penalty must be the amputation of the hand, right? Now, the Shaykh also says, "Well, yashhad azabahuma ta'ifatum min al-mu'min." Let it be publicized also. Let the whole world get to know about this. Now, imagine now there was a theft, right? And the criminal was apprehended. After the whole case thing is now everybody seeing. He's apprehended. A popular person. He's guilty. He's caught for theft. The whole procedure. He went through the procedure. As the procedure comes to the executioner, the executioner, he is not concerned. He amputates his hand that was absolutely right. Now the blood is oozing out. Right? Now you can see the whole picture. But at one and the same time, this whole thing is being viewed by a billion persons. I ask you now, is it easy for finding a repetition of that crime? So many people are seeing the normal person of respect and reputation, nothing. The law was so strict about it that they were not concerned about the person's reputation, the background, the wealth that he comes with, nothing. He followed the system. As he was found guilty, his hand was amputated. Now see, the man is going without a hand. And then, for 2 days now, in some reports also it is, that for at least a day or 2 days, then let the hand be suspended on his neck. Before namaz, whatever, let it be in suspense. Now, he's coming to a public place, everything is happening. I ask you, will you find a theft in that place? Now, if you do away with the Sharia law, and you say it's barbaric, right, and you substitute, give him a chance, we need to listen to him, we don't know the circumstance, but is it a fact that he did steal? He needs to have also some type of a defense mechanism to defend himself. He's also got rights. We gave him so much of rights that he became right, and the innocent became the guilty person. He got so much of rights. So he can walk up brazen. Guns brazen, he can walk. And the innocent person, he has to live within burglar guards, right? Can you see how the whole system has been changed? Now this becomes an international law now everywhere. That the innocent person is living in fear, and the criminal is walking clear, absolutely clear. So I ask you, is there any substitute for the target that Allah Ta'ala has stipulated? Can't be any substitute. Do it and see what happens. It's miserable. The whole world must suffer. A few elements. Now look at the problems that come after that. Right. Now on the one side they say there must be transparency, right? So now when there'll be transparency in this type of cases, the man steals, right? So there's transparency. They'll show the whole thing in a video or in some show, they'll show it, alright. This is how he stole, what he did, everything. So the whole world is watching. When the whole world is watching, the criminal is watching it, that alright, what steps can I take also to do the same? And where he went off, so I can perfect it. Can you see that? The criminal, how you look at it? What steps that he's done, I can learn. And number two, if he's faulted somewhere, I can perfect it, right? That is the criminal that is watching this whole show. But the innocent that is watching this show here, he feels, hey, this is an easy way to get away. I know how to play the law, and I can get away. So, see, he's learning how to become a criminal, and the criminal is learning how to perfect it. Number three, for some reason, he's in custody, he's in prison, right, in custody for a week or something until the case goes. He's planning now what I must do in the next crime. He's already planning it, how must I do it? Then what has become of the law? The law has become again. And here, Islamic law said, don't delay the law. Procrastinating law, procrastinating the system or the judgment, procrastinating the judgment is tantamount to killing the system. To procrastinate 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, what it amounts to? To killing a system. So by you found him guilty by move. So he's publicized now. There won't be a repetition. But if the way it's carrying on, so the whole world is defending the right of the criminal. What happens? Is there any peace left? Besides the selected places now, the Haram Sharif now, when you are at any part of the day or night, your woman is leaving the hotel room, she's going to the Haram, spending 2 hours there and coming back. And she is not feeling intimidated. She's feeling absolutely good, no intimidation. But that's a selected few. But the whole world, how will they live? See now. So, in any system now, we need to look at what is the target. So the target was actually that people must live in peace, there must be respect for life, there must be respect for property, right? There must be welfare for everybody. That was the target. And this was the system to get there. But now they played the system so much that you've got system upon system, but the targets are not being met. You've got system upon a system, system upon a system, but the targets are not met. Then only that person who knows how to play the system will win. He knows how to strategize, how to work, how to plan it. So he can take away millions and billions, but he knows how to play the game. So only the person that is not wise enough, he gets caught. See? So that's the end of the system here. And what Deen is saying, in any work that you are doing, that these are the targets, right? I said ikhlas, sincerity, purity of intention, right? Number two is zikr, the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. That must prevail everywhere in abundance, right? Number three, there must be conformity to the sunnah. And number four, there must be unity, well-being, you know, you're keeping welfare for the Muslims all right throughout. Not only for the Muslims, for all Muslims as well. But you're wishing well for everybody. Okay. Now, these are the qualities, these are values that people will look towards, right? Ahmed Sahib has got a story there, you know. It's a lengthy story, but I'm going to show you this part of the story. So he says, there was some Haji Qudratullah, right? So, he had boarded one ship. No, actually what happened was that he was in Belgium, in a park, and he saw that Belgium was like a godless country at the time. Absolutely no deen. You know, if there's any official form, so on the column for religion, most people will write there, no religion. No religion, right? Except for a couple of Muslims, but most people write there, no religion. Right? It's a godless country. So when there's a godless country, now he's sitting there in the park, this Haji Qudratullah Sahib somewhere, and he comes across a person that is reciting the Quran Sharif in the park, calm, cool, relaxed, and he's just reciting in a sweet tone, he's reciting. So he got affected in this type of environment, and you got someone reciting the Quran Sharif and so cool and relaxed. So he took the courage to go talk to the man. But in this environment, you don't even talk about a God. There isn't a thing like God. But what makes you to recite the Quran Sharif so well? So he says, you know, I've been a captain of a ship. We were doing rounds from Belgium, India, Pakistan, East, West. Right? So once we were in Pakistan, right, and the workers were offloading, right, heavy luggage is offloading, and it was a hot day, extremely hot. You can see the temperature is 45, 50 degrees, sweltering heat, people exhausted. So when I saw this captain, this man is saying, he's a non-Muslim, so he says, what I did was, I bought some cold drinks, etc., to bring them up again. But I went to one old man, and this old man, I offered him, said, no, I'm fasting. So kept me struck all the time that it's a nafal fast, number one. Number two is sweltering heat. He's doing all the work. He's not failing in his duties. But then what pushes him to this point here? So I brought him to my private room and I locked the room, opened my fridge, one of the most expensive juice that I had. I offered it to him. He said, no, I'm fasting. But I said, nobody around here, nobody will see this. So he just pointed, he couldn't speak the language. So he just pointed up. He said, hey, that struck me. And I told that man there and then, you know, you make me a Muslim. But you see, what affects the person is these values. This iman, these values, this sifat, this is what people want. And they see this, they get struck. More than the oration, more than everything else, the gloss and the glamour, they are looking for this type of values. But do you have the consciousness? Is there God? Is something like a creator? Is there a day like Qiyamah, judgment? I want to see the type of group of people who have the consciousness of the day of Qiyamah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I can get affected. But I don't see this, and I feel, nauzubillah, there isn't a thing like accountability, there isn't a thing like Qiyamah. So why do I need to effort, why do I need to make that effort and exert myself? Says again about this value. It's also a lengthy story. That story will take about half an hour, but I just cut it off. So he says, here, this man here wants to go for it. The Qari Sahib wants to go for it. So he looked into his pockets. So he's only got about 10 rupees. Around that time, the 10 rupees must have been about, I can't say, more than 100 rands, right? So he bought a bag, sack or something, and he bought some chana. So it's a chickpeas, yeah, chana he bought. Roasted that thing, and he's moving towards Karachi harbour. That was the harbour at that time, right? So he's having this as his meals, and he's moving water, carries on. Now he comes to the harbour. So the English captain, that is the captain of the ship, so he says, no, I will come in as a passenger. Said, well, the captain is looking at him. He looks like a man of nobility. But he's a man of nobility, and he can't afford it. To turn him down doesn't look right. Because he seems to be like a very noble, respectable person. And just to say flat that you don't have the money, you can't board the ship, it sounds a little bit difficult. So he said, you see, we don't have real seats we don't have any spare seats. But yes, we have got one job, made it like, you know, impossible for him to board. We've got a job, you know, only one job that's available, and that is to take all his heavy trunks into the ship. Right. So the old man says, it's old, frail, and these trunks that are heavy, you know, you know, 70s, if you had gone for Hajj, I see in that time, you know. So people that are leaving from India and Pakistan, mostly they're coming by ship. But at that time, they used to come 3, 4 months, 5 months. So they'll have a lot of reserves, rice, wheat, all that, and they'll bring it along. So you can imagine now how bulky those things. For 4 or 5 months, the whole family is going. So what will be the weight? 100 kilos, 80 kilos, 90 kilos. So this Qari Sahib, he says, no, I will do it. So he goes to that bundle, whatever bag it is, and he cries to Allah, you know, I could do this point. To this level, I could do it. Here, beyond this, I can't do it. Begged Allah Ta'ala gave him the strength, and he packed the luggage. Now that English captain, when he saw this, you know, I need to make it really impossible for this person here, that he doesn't even think of coming for Hajj. So he says, you know what, there's another duty that is attached to this person here, and that is that he must clean all the toilets. I mean, India is like a very despicable job. It's clearly a despicable job to be cleaning the toilet. But the Qari Sahib said, no, I'm prepared for that also. So twice in the day, he will raise up his pants, go into the toilets, clean up, wash his clothing again, put on the clothing, or he would have one set of clothing just for the toilet and the other for namaz, etc. I did all the job, and every day he's doing all this, but at night, the night sets in, everybody's resting. Then this captain is listening to someone reciting the Quran Sharif, nice, slow, clear, reciting the Quran Sharif in a good tone. Now, this is the first time that he heard the Quran Sharif being recited, and recited so well, it impressed his heart. So he says, you know, you need to make me a Muslim.
So the Qadi Sahib said, you see, you already said the kalima already. You're already saying kalima, la ilaha illallah. You're already Muslim. So no, officially make me a Muslim. He accepted Islam. His wife divorced him, right? As a Muslim, we don't have the concept that the wife can divorce, you can divorce, or the other way around, right? Like, she can give children, you can't give children. Same way, you can issue the divorce, can't be the other way around, right? You can't, impossible, right? Let a man have the children, can he give birth? Can't. So the same, the man can issue the divorce, not the wife. But he accepted Islam there and then. See, this man, how did he carry that luggage? And where does he find the strength that after he's done the job for the entire day, to stand, relax, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and reciting like this, he must have got some additional strength. So you see, people are looking for this. This man, he's got some additional values. Is he living for something? And if it is, then I need to also get that. So now, we're coming again back to these values, right? So one is the system, and one is the target. And many times we confuse both. Right? Someone will be so strong on the system, he forgot the target, right? He's so strong about the system, that the system must be in place. Now, is he getting the targets? So the more important thing is the target. The system is by the way, and the target is the actual thing. So he's so worried about it. So in any deeni work, so what we need to see is, are we getting to the targets? Is there ikhlas? Is there conformity to the sunnah? Right? Right. Number three, is there the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like it's supposed to be? Number four, are we working towards unifying or trying to show and impress that I am better than you? I will try to show, impress people, my numbers are better than your numbers, my work is better than your work, my effort is better than your effort. Right? So am I trying to impress upon people with my numbers, with my delivery, with my expression and approach? Am I trying to impress on you with that? Or I'm trying to rectify, bring the immah together, bring myself together, and bring myself, my brothers together also. What am I trying for? So if these targets are there, then you're on course. And if these targets are not there, if I am trying to impress upon you because of the crowds that I can attract, because of the amount of jamaat that I can take out, right? Because of the power pack deliveries that I can make, right? Then I'm off the course. But if I am trying to bring about ikhlas, bring about sincerity, bring about the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala that Allah is watching, right? To bring about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I'm on course. People have come here, they got a certain level of respect. They got certain love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an attachment for deen, right? The fikr for deen, to practice deen. Then they are on course. And I don't have this thing here, then I'm fighting for something else. Then we'll come under the purview of the hadith, which says, faqad qil, you know. Well, you're working for these things here, for a name, for a reputation, for so much of publicity. Then you got the publicity, you got nothing by us. What you are striving for, then you have got that, but you have got nothing by us. By us, you have got nothing. So, when you want to link up with any movement, with any jamaat or something, look, have they got the right targets? They got the love of Allah Ta'ala, they're working towards the fear of Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. Is it this that they are looking towards, or they got some other targets at heart? What have they got? Furthermore, Qasim Nanuti Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, both from Nanuta, right? And both are related also, somehow or the other. So both have come to Delhi. Some printing work that is required. It wasn't so simple like today. Now today, just get in computer, just send it across, that person is doing your printing. So simple today, right? So now you have to go there, do the proofreading, check that it is right again, and then give it to the printers. It takes about a week, 2 weeks before you can come back. So both have taken an apartment. One, Qasim Sahib Nanuti Rahmah, he's on the ground floor. And one, Yaqub Sahib Rahmah, he's on the first floor, right? So as they come here, so you see these values, values of taqwa, consciousness, of awareness of Allah Ta'ala, fear, the azmat, the respect, muhabbat. So they've got it very deeply rooted. In the meanwhile, one woman comes in, and she comes in with a young daughter, right? And she complains to Maulana Qasim Saab, Rahmatullah Alayhi, she's a loose woman, obviously. You see, my livelihood depends upon this daughter of mine. That's how my livelihood works. Loose woman now, this is how I work. And now, for some days, she's not too well. You know. Make dua that she comes right, that I can continue with life. See. So now, these Buzurgana Deen, on the one side, they don't want to hurt anybody, right? But they don't want to also encroach on the Sharia. On the one side, the parameters of the Sharia, they don't want to encroach. But by the same token, they don't want to hurt anybody. Now, it's a very difficult thing to balance. One side is the Sharia, one side is the feelings. So Mawlana Qasim Saab didn't want to encroach the lines of the Sharia, but by the same token, he didn't want to hurt the person. So if you're a big brand that there and then, right? What are you doing? You know, sending away your respect. Don't you know this is haram? Could have done that. But he knows that in so doing, he'll break. She's not prepared for that. And she's not prepared for that, so I'll distance this person even further. Now, he's avoiding the boat. So he says, you know, you're looking for that buzurug who can make dua or something. He's upstairs, you know. So anyway, this woman went upstairs. Now, she's desperate. This is her livelihood. So she went with her daughter upstairs. Well, Yaqub, she told the whole story. He made dua for her and all that. And he came down. He's really, really angered. Who sent this woman here to my secluded apartment? Who sent this woman up here? Nafska kya bharasa? You know, this taqwa. Can anybody have any... Can he rely on his nafs? You don't know nafs, how you can just... You can just swing around, right? Old or not old. But now you see something like that coming right to your doorstep and are desperate for help. And now to be able to control your nafs at that time. So, nafs ka kya bharosa? Who can rely on his nafs? And then he says, because they're both contemporaries. Aap apne taqwa ki itni ihtiyat karte ho. You look after your taqwa so much. And me now, you just let me, you drop me in the deep end. What's wrong with you? Well, Qasim was just quiet. He didn't say, I said the girl. Nor did he say, no, I did said. But he's, on the one side, he has to balance taqwa and righteousness. But on the other end, he has to also respect the feeling of the person. So he has to balance the both. But you see this duality, right? See the values. His values. This is what the world is looking forward to. This is what the world needs. These right values, taqwa, righteousness, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People had it, right? Now, because our minds are all, I want to get a crowd, I want to get a name, a reputation, right? I got these numbers, so much numbers I'm turning out of the madrasa all the time. So these real values, the love of Allah ta'ala, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah ta'ala, zikr, etc., all is going by the way. Everything is by the way. But I want to show now, impress, glorified jalsa, so many people turning out, right? But now, these values, are they being passed from one person to the other person? This love of Allah ta'ala, consciousness of Allah ta'ala, istiqamat, the firmness, am I passing that to the next person? Or my main concern is how the delivery, how is going to be the presentation, and what do I need to give? And I spoke about this in the previous week, I speak about this again, what people are going to say. See this taqwa and this righteousness. So, Buzurgana Deen say, to understand this Buzurgana Deen also is a problem. You can't just understand them so easily. So there was a court case in Delhi. Man is summoned to court, right? So why? Because they found him in the Jama Masjid. And he was making the statements, Tu mera khuda nahi, main tera gulam nahi, phir main aapki baat ko kyun maanu? You are not my God. And he's sitting in the masjid and he's making this type of statements. What? You are not my God. I'm not your slave. Why must I listen to you? Well, they brought him to court. So Allah gave the magistrate some tawfiq. So he asked the person, but tell me who you were talking to. Who are you addressing? See, to understand these awliya ikram is also an effort. You don't just understand them straight away. You can't just recognize them straight away. So he says, you see, my nafs was trying to have the bet over me. My nafs was saying, have this. Perhaps that was not right or makruh, whatever it was. And my nafs is saying, have this. And I was saying, no, I don't want to give it to you. I can't manage it. And perhaps it's makruh or not permissible. So I don't want to give it to you. And the nafs is making more and more demands, harder demands. No, you have to. You have to. So I was suppressing my nafs, talking to my nafs, that you're not going to get it. Right? Because you are my God. When you are my God, I don't need to listen to you. So why are you making these type of demands against me? If you are God, then you can make the demands. But you're not God, then what gives you the right to make these demands against me? So you're not my God. Right? And I'm not your slave, so why must I listen to you? See these values. What values these people have. Now again, I have to repeat this statement that people are looking for these values. See this, ikhlas, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness, the respect that we need to have, we need to show. People are looking for this. Right? And it is these values that count. See, wherever you go, it is these values that will count, right? Now look at the Quran Sharif, what the Quran Sharif is talking about. Same things. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَمْ. After they believe, then they are firm. They are not wavering from one end to the other end. They are not wavering. They remain absolutely firm. See, Allah Pak is showing what is the criterion for your goodness on the other side. On the other side of the fence, what is the criterion of which value you have to hold to, that you can be better on that side. So, Allah Pak says, after you said, Rabbun Allah, then remain absolutely firm. Now, today I chose this topic. Why? Last week, some alim had to talk to me. I had to go for a program. So, this alim is telling me. Now, this type of experience, I don't know how many people came and read around the same time. You know, about 4 years ago, before this, the Syria thing started off, you know, 3-4 years ago, 5 years ago. So many people were seeing the dream, Dajjal. And then after we just saw the Syria is under attack, and all the problems took place. 5-6 years ago, how many, whatever years, right? But now, recent, what people are saying that we're seeing one type of dream, right? And the dream is like, same, the message is across the board, same. So this alim is telling me, and this was a dream that he had, right? The dream he had was that he saw our late Mullah Ahmad Padia, you know, by Padia's son, Rahimahullah. So he saw him. So his alim is asking this Mullah Ahmad that is late, you know, I don't have much time, man. Nor do you have much time. I can see both of us have to move, right? But now, you saw both sides of the world. This side and the other side. You saw this side and the other side. You saw both, right? You know the hadith of Shab al-Qadr is also based partly on a dream. Inni ura ru'yakum qad tawata'at fi sab'il awakhir. Inni ura ru'yakum qad tawata'at fi sab'il awakhir. Everybody seeing the same dream. So this dream, everyone, I don't know how many people come and say the same thing, right? So he's asking Mawlana Ahmad, okay, you know, okay, you tell me, I've got very little time, tell me one quickly, you know, quick one, you know, you saw this side and that side, show me what was most effective. So he says, to stand for La ilaha illallah. So he asked him, but just to have the belief and the faith right and the allegiance right, or to recite it also. He said, both, you have to have the allegiance right, the belief right, and the recitation. Again, same. رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَمْ. See that? I don't know how many people are saying the same thing. Same, exactly the same thing. And if we leave this out, then la ilaha illallah will be just in word. There will be no istiqamah. There will be no practicality and application.